Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest, our first of the day. Shil Kapadi does wonderful work covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League for The Ringer. And he joins us as he does every Wednesday at this time. Good morning, Shil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, I'm still in the mode of junk. All right. So, Shil, there's so many ways to go here. Let me just start with this, and then we'll go back to the game. But are the Eagles not as good as we thought they were entering the season?
Well, it depends how good you thought they were. I mean, I thought they were an 11-win team and were going to win the division, and I don't feel as great about that, but I still think they're going to be right there and that they're still going to finish above 500 and be in the mix. So it depends on what your expectations were.
Yeah, okay. All right, so, Shil,
Hold on. There's an interesting follow-up to that. So the situational football, the situational coaching of football, I think that matters too. Is this team a poorly situationally coached football team? Because I saw a stat yesterday that said we were like tied for the most losses with the lead with 2 minutes left in regulation over the last couple of years. We are tied for the most losses in all the NFL. Like, we've let games slip away more than any other team out there, which suggests poor coaching, situational coaching. Do you attribute it to that, Shil?
Yeah, I mean, they've had their issues. This game, I'm sure to a lot of people, felt like that Seahawks game last year, where you blow it at the end, and then your quarterback has the ball at the end, and you throw an interception. So, yeah, they have had issues with that. I know they practice it. I know they harp on it. But at some point, like you said, you have to look at the data. I mean, they had, what, a 9% chance to win this game if you look at some, you know, whatever graphic they showed on TV, and they lost the game. So, yeah, you have to point to that.
Shil, you know, one of the things we love having you on the show about is you've had a chance to review the film. Defensively, what is the main thing that stood out to you, not just from the TV copy, but the game film, the All-22, what stood out to you defensively?
No, they don't get near the quarterback. I mean, everything you thought on Monday night, it was worse on film. I mean, these guys, Kirk Cousins is standing back there, and don't tell me he got rid of the ball quickly, because you can look at those numbers on that now, and he didn't. He's getting to his backside reads. He's comfortable in the pocket. The guy can't move. He's 36 years old coming off an Achilles. They didn't move the pocket. They didn't do anything that creative schematically. And your pass rush that you've invested – what, 3 first-round picks, you made a big free agent signing, and these guys aren't coming close. I mean, they are on the ground. They are running 5 yards past the quarterback. They're running these stunts that nobody is working together. Nobody's getting home. Nobody's getting close. I mean, when you have a pass rush like that, it's just really hard to do anything defensively to impact the game, to make those game-changing plays. And that absolutely is the number one takeaway. They have 3 sacks in 2 games, and one of them was that cheapy that Zach Bond got on that last play in game, you know, week 1 against Malik Willis when he's throwing a Hail Mary. They don't touch the quarterback.
Oh, man. And then what about stopping the weak side run? When I was going back and looking at some of those plays from the game, felt like our linebackers are flowing and getting engulfed. And it looked, and I thought, wow, that looks similar to the run from earlier. Wow, that looks similar to the run from earlier. Wow, once upon a time, had I been on the field in a fullback spot, like offset, we would have called that 98-99 toss weak. It's a weak side zone. And they killed us with it. And what's to stop every single team we face from killing us with it in weeks 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? I'm really frightened about that, Shil.
Yeah, well, I was going to tell you, I mean, you know what the Saints do next week. They have the exact set. That's their run scheme, is that outside zone, and then you run the play action off of it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the linebackers in this game, so the guards for the Falcons were not covered up by the Eagles' defensive linemen. So they're getting to the second level, and a lot of these big runs, it's the same thing over and over again, where they're doing a great job with kind of these cut blocks in space, where they're taking out Zach Bond, and he's on the ground, and the running back cuts it back, and all of a sudden it's a 14-yard run. I mean, listen, it comes back to the defensive line. You have three sacks in two games, and you're allowing 6.4 yards per carry, the worst in the NFL through two games. You can't be bad at both those things. Like, you can tell me, all right, you can't rush the passer, but hey, at least these guys are stuffing the run. Nope, they're not doing that. Well, they're, you know, they're bad against the run, but at least they're getting affecting the quarterback. Nope, they're not doing that either. I mean, Bryce Huff in this game, Bryce Huff looks lost in this game. I'm not trying to kill the guy. I'm not trying to destroy him after two games. It's a long season.
Have you seen anything like that, Shiel? Is he salvageable? This year, can he give us what is expected to be like a functional NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there have been times, even Javon Hargrave, when he got here, he got off to a slow start and then was good. So I'm not going to say Bryce Huff can't. He's been a good player before. He had double-digit sacks last year. But if you watch him in this scheme, I mean, his pass rush reps, he's not getting close. And then they're running. They had a possession in the second half where they're running right at him 2, 3, 4 times in a row.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, he can't set the edge. He's getting blocked by tight ends in this scheme. Yeah. Like, I really wonder, this next game against New Orleans on Sunday, I'm going to be looking at what his playing time is, because I have a feeling Vic Fangio's going to watch that film and say, I don't know that we can have him out there on early down.
Let's talk about that also as it applies to Jordan Davis, the guy we were told is in great shape, the best shape of his life. By the way, only had 29 snaps in this last game, despite being in the best shape of his life. I thought he was the missing, keystone to stopping the run, Shiel. He was in the game, or he was supposed to be able to be in the game. Why couldn't we stop the run?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He played fewer than 50% of the snaps. Now, on the snaps that he was in there against the run, I don't think he was the major issue. I mean, I think he was fine. He was doing what he was asked to do, but he's certainly not a disruptive player. He's not someone who's destroying blocks and getting in the backfield and making life easier for everyone else. So he's okay, but he's not great. And then you look at the last possession of the game. So you know that the Falcons, they got to pass the football there, and you want to get your best pass rushers out there. Jordan Davis isn't on the field. Moro Ojemo is on the field next to Jalen Carter at defensive tackle. I mean, that tells you everything. You know, they're telling you, we don't have to guess. They're telling you, who do we think our four best pass rushers are when we need a play here, and he's not on the field.
Moro Ojemo.
Hey, Shiel, let's go to offense, because we could do this defensive thing all day, and it's fascinating, but they stink defensively. Let's get to the offense. What did the film show you about how they dealt with no A.J. Brown, how Kellen Moore cooked it up, how Jalen Hurts dealt with it as the quarterback? This could be the reality for two or three more games. What did you see with no A.J.?
Yeah, I don't know. Kellen Moore didn't cook too much up from what I was watching. Now, it was one game, but you would think that, all right, you don't have A.J. Brown. Let's get Dallas Goedert more involved here. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Dallas. How does Dallas Goedert have four targets in a game where you don't have A.J. Brown? I don't understand that. And Britton Covey has six targets in this game. So that one was a head-scratcher to me. Jahan Dotson is not involved at all. He was on the field for, I think, almost every snap, and he got one target for 6 yards. Now, I'm not telling you the film's showing him wide open and they got to get him the football. It's not showing him that, but they didn't dial up any plays or scheme anything up to Jahan Dotson. So it was a little head-scratching to me from a schematic perspective. They had one play of 20-plus yards, and that was a Jalen Hurts scramble. You guys watch football around the NFL. I mean, some of these coordinators, they're scheming guys up wide open for explosive plays, and I didn't see any of that in this game. So, yeah, schematically, I didn't see much that was to get excited about here. Now, Jalen Hurts, I thought he had to kind of put the team on his back at times and just sort of create because stuff wasn't there within the scheme and guys weren't open. And so what he did with his legs and the way he threw the football for the most part, I actually thought he played pretty well, and this could have looked a lot more ugly if he wasn't doing it.
Wasn't that encouraging, the way that he played? To my eye, he looked twice as explosive as I can remember seeing him in a long time. Isn't, like, for whatever reason, it all came out in week two. Is that something we can expect to continue, Shield?
Yeah, I think the types of runs with Jalen Hurts, that's really important to take a look at. You know, when they're trying to run the zone read stuff, and he's trying to get around the edge, he doesn't look great in that, in my opinion, through the first two games, and he didn't look great in that last year. However, when he's scrambling, he looks great. When they're running those inside runs with him, and he's kind of going through the line of scrimmage, he still can be very effective doing those types of things. So I don't think you want to ask him to kind of turn the corner against a defender up there on the edge. But the other stuff, yeah, I mean, 13 rushes for 85 yards, that one drive, it was just Jalen Hurts scrambling the entire drive. And then they dialed up some, design stuff for him with a quarterback draw, with some gap runs inside with Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I thought without that element of the offense, this, you know, I think they would have lost by more in this game. There's no doubt about it.
Shield, final thing here. So before the Eagles Monday night game, the Eagles were favored against the Saints. And now since that game's been played, the Saints have become a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, it's a pretty incredible jump. Are the Saints legit? Put another way, how great is this challenge on Sunday?
Yeah, it's really rare that the line moves through zero like that, where, you know, to that extent. Mm-hmm. So from what everyone has seen, the Saints last week had a terrific game plan against the Cowboys. It's a very schemed up offense, meaning they run a lot of play action. Over 50% of the snaps, they use play action. So your linebackers have to be buttoned up in this game because they can run the ball. And when they don't run the ball, they try to get you to think they're running the ball. And then they create these big voids in the middle of the field. So they did a great job with that against the Cowboys and Micah Parsons. Now, it's two games. We've seen a lot of Derek Carr in the NFL, and he's been mostly, you know, solid, mediocre, slightly above average, but not great. He's playing the best football of his career through two games, but it is a small sample. So I think it is a challenge. It's a bigger challenge than you thought going into the season, but the Eagles have enough on their team if they can get some of this stuff together to go down there and win that football game.
Shield, nice work, buddy. Again, everyone follow Shield's work with The Ringer. And Shield, we look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you, Shield.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.